started the sugya last time about Midvar Sheker Tirchak, so let's continue that sugya, okay? What we were discussing, so we said, it's not the sugya Midvar Sheker Tirchak, I misspoke, right? What was the sugya? We were talking about that you do Hashavas Aveda, normally you ask for a simen. But there are some people that Petviya say, you know, just by them telling you that they recognize it, oh yeah, that's my stuff, that's enough. You have to return it to them. You give it back to them with Tviya Sayin alone. So he said, what kind of person? The Talmud Chacham. How do you define what's the Talmud Chacham in this regard that you would give it back to Petviya Sayin? So the Gemara says, well, there are three things that a Talmud Chacham is expected to lie about. And if a person only lies about those three things, then you can trust them to be Meshav Aveda. So what were the three things that we defined? Meseches, Puria, Vishpiza. Good. So what did we discuss last time? Mesechta. So the way to attack this, we said, is we're going to first look at each of the individual details, no matter what they each mean. So last time we discussed what Mesechta means. So today we'll talk about what Puria means, what Vishpiza means. And then back up and say, well, wait a second, isn't there a Gemara that tells us that Meshanim Lepnei HaShalom? So why are these three things identified? So what were the possibilities of what Mesechta meant? What did we discuss last time? No, what did Rashi say? Let's start with that. What does Rashi say? You're allowed to say, I didn't learn it. Why? Anivus, right? Anivus. What did Tulsa say? What? Same thing, but what was Tulsa's bothered by? It should be mechadad nebeficha. So how could you do it? Not respond right away? Mechadad nebeficha means from yisholcha adam al tegamgim v'tomer lo elomer lo miyad. You have to be able to respond immediately. So how could you not respond immediately? What's Tulsa's answer? It depends. Depends why they're asking you. If they're asking because they need a psak, they need to know how to, so then, tomer lo miyad. But if they're just asking because they're showing you off as like their smart friend, they're like, they're trying to pick up a girl or something, they're like, oh, I hang out with the smartest guys, watch this. And, you ask the person to say something. So that you don't have to say, nah, I don't know anything, I don't really know about that. What did the Rambam say? The Rambam had a different example. What was the Rambam? Good. You can lie about what you're learning exactly. If you're learning Nida, you could say that you're learning Mikvahs. So what's Pshat? What was the Rambam talking about? Anivus? That's Anivus? Say that you're learning Mikvahs? Wasn't Anivus. What was it about? Busha. To protect yourself, the embarrassment. From the embarrassment, you're going to tell someone, like we said, you're going to go, you meet a Rosh Yeshiva, right? And they say, oh, where do you learn? Oh, I learn in Beis Medrash of the Talmud. Oh, what's that? Lanza College. Oh, that I know. Okay. So then they say, what are you learning? So you say, oh, I'm majoring in finance. They say, no, I mean, what are you learning? And you say, I'm learning Bav Metzia. And they say, oh, what sugya are you holding in? You're like, sugya, oh gosh. Right? So and you know where the conversation is going to go, and you're not happy about it. So you know that this Rosh Yeshiva probably never really learned mikvahs. So you say, oh, I'm learning mikvahs. And he says, ooh, ritual bath. You know, like, you're like, yep. So you're going to save yourself the story of Baruch Simon once in Moresh HaKolel, when Baruch Simon was learning mikvahs, spent all summer learning mikvahs, and at the end of the summer, he took some of the chevra from the Moresh HaKolel to visit different mikvahs to see the ways that it was built. You know, the Chabad mikvah is built bar al gabi bar, and you know the different types of mikvahs. So they went to, I think it was a Satin mikvah, and they said, We were students from Yeshiva University, and we came to we're learning about mikvah. So we came to inspect, we came to look at the mikvah. So they said, a mikvah is a ritual bath. If a person is done it, like Rav Simon, could write a sefer on mikvahs, describing to him how it helps deal with impurity. So the Rambam said not because of anivus. Adrabas, it's just to protect your own skin, just to protect yourself. Good, that was Masechta. Yeah?
Okay, is it a coincidence that Nida and Mikvos are similar?
So probably not a coincidence. So we discussed that a little bit last time also, right? Is there anything about the fact that it was it's on a similar topic to what he's actually learning? Is there a reason the Rambam Dafka chose Nida as opposed to anything else? That we need to work on a little bit. Did we have any suggestions last time? I don't remember. Do you have any suggestions why Dafka Nida? Why didn't the Rambam just say brachos? Anything else? I don't know. Maybe you thought that the person was going to ask you a shaila that involves an Isra Kares, and you were afraid of that. I don't know. Not sure. And the reason he chose mikvos, the Pasha Pshat, is the way the Mepharshim explained it, is because you are a Baki mikvos. Meaning, not the way I said it, where you know that nobody's a Baki mikvos. No, the Rambam said, yeah, take a simple Masechta Mishnayis, you know, like a mikvos. So you are a Baki mikvos, so you know that if the conversation is going to come to them asking you questions, so you picked something that you know the answers to. Right? That's how they explain the Rambam. Okay, so that's as far as Masechta. And what is Puria? So where does this Gemara appear? Right, so the Gemara said Chav Gimel and Beis, right? So Bipuri is the last word on the page on Chav Gimel and Beis. So what does the Gemara say? Shimashta mitascha yomar lav midas tzniyusu. Rashi says, what's an example of Puria? What does that mean? Someone asks you, hey, did you have tashma shamita? You can say no. Why? Because that is a midas tzniyus, to say no when someone asks if you have tashma shamita, if you had tashma shamita. If you say yes, that is not a midas tzniyus. It most certainly is not a midas.
Referring to tashma shamita or the saying yes part is a not tzniyus?
Well, tashma shamita is a natural part of life, but talking about it is not a midas tzniyus. So, in fact, the Gemara tells us in Maseches Ksuvos, the Gemara says, and Maseches Shabbos, Hakol Yodin Kala Lama Nichmas Alechupa. Everybody knows what happens on a wedding night after the Chas and Kala get married. Elakala Menavel is Piv. But someone who talks about it and who talks about what the Chasan and Kala are going to be doing that night, even if he has a Gzar Din of Shivim Shana Latova, Nepach Alav L'Ra'a, that the Nibble Peh involved will change a Gzair of Shivim Shana Latova to Shivim Shana L'Ra'a. That's called Nibble Peh. When the Gemara talks about Nibble Peh, it doesn't mean the two words that you're still not allowed to say on network television. Gemara talks about Nibble Peh, it means to talk about these topics, right? It means to talk about those topics that are more intimate and are meant to be kept private. So it's not that Judaism believes that it's married life is a dirty thing or a disgusting thing. We're not Christians. We don't believe that a holy person refrains from these things. We believe holy people live a normal life. But to talk about it publicly, there are certain things that are meant ein darshan ba'arayas. You're not supposed to hold public drashos to talk about things that are very sensitive. Remember, about a month ago, Mariv Rabbi Rav Shachter was in Lawrence for a Shabbos, and we were sitting with him on Friday, and he said, what should I talk about on Shabbos? He always does that. Like, he's got to talk, like the next day, he's got to give 7 shiurim. You know, what should I talk about tomorrow? Any ideas? So last week he was asking us, what should I talk about in Shavuos? I'm supposed to speak 6 times in Shavuos in this YU retreat that they're having or something. What should I talk about? So I didn't say anything. I never volunteered. So he said, what are you talking about? So, okay, now he asked me. So, what are you talking about in Shavuos? I said, I think I'm going to talk about when a machlokas in Hashkafa affects halacha, affects a machlokas in halacha. He said, too esoteric for me. I'm not going to talk about that. He was not interested in that. But once he was going to Lawrence and he asked us what he should talk about, he said that they asked him to talk about fertility issues. And he said, like, what kind? He didn't think that was a wise choice on their part. He said, what percentage of the people there go through fertility issues? He wanted to talk about end of life issues because everybody's life ends eventually. So people deal with, everyone deals with end of life issues eventually. A parent, a grandparent, themselves, a spouse, or whatever. Everyone deals with end of life issues. So he said, like, what kind of fertility issues they want me to talk about? So I said, collection of zera is an important issue. He said, you think I should talk about that publicly? So I felt a little embarrassed. probably not, right? Meaning it's not me to see us to talk about certain things publicly. So what does Tosa say? Not me to see us to answer such a question. Who on earth asks such a question? Says Tosos, Ein regilus sheyishalu. If your friends are asking that, you know what you need? New friends! This is not something that people are supposed to be asking about. Kipirish Rashi, im shimish mitaso, ella im balkeri haya, v'lo ba lebeis hamedrish, v'shalu, lama lo ba, yeshana v'yomer, she'chola haya, oshar onas irala. says Tosos, you know, back in the day, there used to be something called Takanas Ezra. And Ezra, but come pay base, right? One of the Takanas Ezra was that someone who's a Baal Keri is not allowed to learn Torah, say Brachas Davin, right? So if a person didn't have a chance to go to the mikveh after they were with their wife the previous night, they couldn't go to yeshiva the next day. So, you know, his chavrusa says, "No, where were you yesterday? I missed you during morning Seder." And he doesn't know that chavrusa showed up an hour and a half late also. Whatever. The chavrusa came and looked in the Beis Medrash, saw he wasn't there, was like, "Yes, okay." Right? I have the moral high ground. Not that that would ever happen. I'm just, so the chavrusa says, "No, where were you?" So the truth was, he was Mishamish Mitasa, and he was a Baal Keri, and he wasn't near a mikveh. And he couldn't get to a mikveh that day, so he couldn't go learn. So that's Tosa. So Tosa says, you could say I was sick. Instead of talking, not that someone's actually, meaning, but Tosa is teaching a brashi. Not that someone actually asks you to jav tashma shamita. Someone asks, where were you? And the answer, the true answer is tashma shamita. So that you don't respond with that answer. You know, it's so foreign to us, this idea of tum and tara, and what, you know, Takanas Ezra, we already, why do we not observe that Takanas Ezra anymore? We assume that it's too hard to observe that Takanas Ezra. Every time men's with his wives, you got to find a mikveh. You know, it wasn't always so easy to find mikvahs. In Russia, in the middle of whatever, you know, in communist Russia, not so easy to find a mikveh. You go to the frozen lake, you cut a hole in the not always so easy to do. I've told you the story. That's the Rabbi Aaron Palm told me about Rav Moshe Feinstein, right? So Rav Moshe, right, that for 4 years his wife didn't go to the mikveh because there was a hidden mikveh from the authorities, but he knew that if his wife went to the mikveh, then the authorities would realize that the Feinsteins are still having children, that there must be a hidden mikveh, and they would shut it down. So Rav Moshe was just not with his wife for 4 years. For 4 years she remained tamei because he took one for the team. Like an unbelievable mesiras nefesh it took sometimes. So it wasn't always so easy to just show up to the mikveh. Now the whole idea of living a life in that way, where tum and tara is a factor, is very difficult for us to relate to. Rabbi Yisrael Reisman pointed out, I was listening to a shir yesterday from Rabbi Reisman, he pointed out that even regular people are supposed to be noeg tahara. Even b'chulin were noeg tahara. We're not supposed to be metameh or chulin. Right, it's a chumrah, an extra chumrah to treat chulin al taras ha-truma or al taras ha-kodesh with extra higher levels of sensitivity to protect it from becoming a shlishi or a vi. But at least on a basic level of tum and tara, even chulin has to be treated b'tara. So he said, imagine that would mean that when a man's wife is in nida, he can't eat the food she makes, can't sit on the chair that she sits on. He's got to be careful that all the kalim that she touches, that they're mekabel tuma, everything, right? So he said, it's amazing. Kadosh Baruch Hu sometimes brings the refuah before the machla. So before Bias HaMashiach, what did he create? Disposable kalim, right? Plastic plates. The invention of plastic solves this problem, right? Because these things are not mekabel tuma. Synthetic materials are not mekabel tuma. Where in halacha does it matter if something is mekabel tuma or not? Bizman hazeh, where does it matter if something is mekabel tuma? By sukkah and by nida, right? By sukkah because something that's mekabel tuma cannot be used for schach, right? And by nida because a kesem, a stain that's found on a garment that is mekabel tuma can make the woman tame, but a stain, not if it's an actual flow, but a stain that's found on a garment that's not mekabel tuma is not going to be tame the woman. That's why on toilet paper or something like that, it's not mekabel tuma. So you got to know about what is and what isn't mekabel tuma. So it does play a role in halacha sometimes. There are some poskim that assume that tevilas kelim relates to kabbalas tuma. That any kli that would not be mekabel tuma does not require tevilas kelim, and that's why they would say plastic does not require tevilas kelim. Rabbi Reisman said that Rav Palm held plastic does require tevilim. Wow. That if it's sturdy plastic, it's not throwaway. You know, like those, we have like milchig drinking glasses and cereal bowls that are like hard plastic that get washed, right? You've seen such things, yeah? So the Rav Palm held, apparently, that it does require a tevila, which is wild. Most poskim do not assume that way. Well, no, I would think not with the bracha. I don't know, but I would think not with the bracha. Minchas Yitzchak also held that way. So I mentioned this in a shir last night. in Hilchos Tevilas Kelim, Smichas Chaver. So I mentioned that that Rabbi Reisman said that Rav Pam held that plaster requires tevila, and Rabbi Reisman said it's very inconvenient for me. And he said it seems like it's very inconvenient, but I'm makbid on it because it's my Rebbe. Rav Pam was his Rebbe, and he says every Friday morning I daven in the shul where there's a keli mikvah in the shul anyway. So it's so easy for me to do to be makbid about this. So Rav Pam's grandson was in the shir, and he immediately calls his father. Was Zaydi makvit to Tovo plastic kelim? His father said, not as far as I know. So the grandson came over to me right after the shir and he said, normally I would trust Rabbi Reisman about anything about my grandfather more than I would trust myself, more than I would trust my grandfather himself. You know? But if my father said that he doesn't, he said, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that's true. Okay, anyway, why do I mention that? Ah, Tosos, right? So Tosos says that it's not that someone's asking you, did you have tashra mita? They're asking, why you missed yeshiva? So you can say that I was sick. Inami. Sha'aluhu shachavta al mita zu lo yomar lo kain pen yiraba keri v'yaskana. What does that mean? What does it mean they're asking about sleeping? They're asking about your bed? Not if you had tashra shamita. They're asking which bed you slept on. And you can lie about which bed you slept on because if you know that the sheets are dirty from shechvazera, it's going to be embarrassing to you when the person says, oh, that's the bed you slept on? Uh-huh, I see. Right? Oh, is this your computer? Yeah? Well, let me just check the browser history. No, it's someone else's. Right? Meaning, if you're going to, your answer is going to lead you to embarrassment, so then you're allowed to lie. So Tosos is different. That's a very different interpretation than Rashi. First interpretation of Tosos was touching up Rashi. Second interpretation of Tosos, totally different interpretation, right? That it's not about tumas keri, it's just about saving yourself from embarrassment. Rashi lishitaso, and Tosos seems to be very much aligned with who?
First answer, second.
The second answer, Tosos, seems to be very much with the Rambam, right? Meaning the Rambam, it said, when it comes to Masechta, right? The Rambam said, you're allowed to lie about what you're learning to save face because it's going to be embarrassing when the Rosh Yeshiva starts asking you about the Sugi and Bar Metziah. So you're allowed to say, oh, Mikvos, because everyone knows Mikvos, you know that, right? So the Rambam says, to save face, you're allowed to lie. That's the second day of Tosos. That if it's going to be embarrassing to say where you slept, that's where you're allowed to lie. First day of Tosos, which is like Rashi, it's touching up Rashi, it's about proper midos. Whether it be by learning the proper mida is anivus. By your bed, proper mida we're talking about over here is, what does Rashi say? Sneus. It's about proper midos. You're allowed to lie to maintain proper midos. The Ben Yoyada just adds a little commentary, a little color to Rashi's interpretation. That apparently used to be Terence Tosos Kasha, because the way Rashi answered it, they ask you, Shimashtu mitoscha? Did you have Tashma Shemita? Right? So Ben Yoyada says, so Tosos asks, who in the world asked that? I feel Kal Shebekalim don't speak that way. Who am I paraphrasing? The Rashba says it over here is true, but it comes from Chazal. And who quotes, where is this? It, the first place you ever heard the phrase, Afilu Kal Shebekalim. No, you don't know? Rashi, on the Chumash. Why? What happens? Yaakov Avinu says to Lavan, I've done my work. Have a sishti. What? Not exactly, but have a sishti, but avoy lehem. Yaakov Avinu says, I've done what you told me to do. Give me a woman so I can have beer with her. That's the Chumash. Right? So Frekt Rashi, I feel Kal Shabakalim. People don't talk that way. Even you know, I don't know, truck drivers, nothing against truck drivers. Even like whatever, even you know, people who are generally viewed as undignified people don't talk that way. So how could it be? So Rashi's sensitive to this. And yet Rashi says, someone's asking Shimasha Mitascha. Says Ben Yoyada, the minhag used to be that the Talmidim used to sleep in the Beis Medrash every night during the week. Married Talmidim. They would sleep in the Beis Medrash, and they'd go home Friday nights. Because onus tamal chal, that's why the Gemara Masech Ksuvis, there's a whole sugi in Ksuvis, how frequently it's expected to fulfill the mitzvah of ona with one's wife, right? So the Gemara says it depends on your profession. If you're a sailor and you're out at sea for 6 months at a time, so when you come back, every 6 months. If you travel and you're out of town 1 month at a time, well, when you come back, every 1 month. If you're a Talmud Chacham, may Erev Shabbos le'Erev Shabbos. Onas Talmud Chachams may Erev Shabbos le'Erev Shabbos. Mehechitesim. Right? I get the sailor part because he's not home for 6 months. Says Ben Yoyada, yeah, exactly. The Talmud Chacham wasn't home either. Meaning, people treated learning Torah with the same seriousness that they treated their jobs. It's an important madriga. That, you know, Rav Silver and Karen Vyavna used to tell us, I don't know if he told you the same, but he used to tell us, were you in Rav Silver's name?
In the beginning.
So he used to tell us that, he said, you should treat Torah study like a secular subject. And we're like, what? He doesn't believe in like Torah Minashmayim? Like, well, what's the deal? Why is he saying that? So he said, because if you take a subject, if you take a class in college, you're going to make sure before the exam you know the material so that you can pass the exam. So at least treat Torah like that. Treat it with that same seriousness. That it's not enough that, oh yeah, I'm a good guy, so you know people will say nice things about me and I'll get a good shidduch. Now, meaning, try to have a yediyas haTorah, to actually know what you learn. You do that with every secular subject you take. Try it with Torah. At least treat it with that level of seriousness. So says Ben Yehuda, they took it seriously. They slept in the base medrash 6 nights a week. And on Erev Shabbos, they go back to their house. What if their
what
wives...
What century are we talking about for that?
What?
What century are we talking about?
Times of the Gemara, I don't know. So what if one's wife's Lil Tvila... I'm not suggesting, by the way, that people should do this. Nowadays, we go home at night. And if you have a regular job, you go home at night also. What happens if one's wife's Lel Tevila was during the week? So there's a mitzvah's ona on the Lel Tevila. So people, the chaverim, would see that a guy wasn't sleeping in the Beis Medrash that night. So they would ask, why weren't you there in the Beis Medrash? You had a Tevila's mitzvah? You know, like... So that you could say no. That's Ramah and Shulchan Aruch. Ramah writes that a person is supposed to be mastil lel tvi lasa. But Moshe assumes in the tshuva that there's no din that a woman has to be private about when she's a nida. Meaning, if she's a nida, she doesn't have to hide that fact from anybody. As Ramosha was asked, if let's say it's embarrassing to observe the harchakos of nida, because people are going to notice. You have all of your family over, and people are going to see that you're not handing anything directly to your wife. You keep putting it down, and she picks it up. So it's going to be embarrassing. So Moshe was asked, so can you like maybe just not do that on Chaka and just hand things to her directly because it's embarrassing? Kavod Abrios, Docha Laseh Shabbatar, maybe it could be Docha, this Isur D'Rabbanan of passing things. So Moshe said, absolutely not. No compromising on the Halacha. Why? So his why is a little bit iffy. But we accept his psak because he was Ramesh. But his why is, it's not embarrassing. He says, why is it not embarrassing? Because I understand, what are you embarrassed about? Are you embarrassed that you're a nida? Every healthy young woman gets her period once a month. That's nothing to be embarrassed about. You're embarrassed that you observe the halacha when you're a nida? Well, I hope you're not embarrassed about that. That would be a terrible thing to be embarrassed about. And therefore, you're not embarrassed. So, you know, tell that to a woman, right? I can explain logically to you that there are two possible reasons why you'd be embarrassed. Neither of them applies, and therefore you're not embarrassed. And what does a woman say? But I feel embarrassed, right? You can't logic away what I feel. But nevertheless, this is Ramesha, so we accept Ramesha's psak, right? So there's no, but in the Gemara it's assumed that when a woman was in need, the whole world knew. Why do they have to know? Well, I mentioned from Rabbi Reisman before, because he had to know that she can't cook your food for you. Rabbi Reisman said, you imagine, you know, 12 days or 13 days out of the month, your wife can't cook you dinner? He said, Mistama, they would freeze it, right? She would cook a lot of meals and freeze it, because there's no way you're cooking for yourself. Or it's like barbecue every night, right? Like that. So The women used to have to walk around with big deinidus, the Gemara describes. Big deinidus. A special beged, like a scarlet letter, right, that would tell the whole world, stay away! There's a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch about amasla. What's amasla? That a woman had given the impression that she's a nida, and now she says, no, I was just kidding. I'm not really a nida. Can you believe her? So there's a whole sugya and shas, a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch. We don't teach it in a chasm class because it never happens. But a whole siman in Shulchan Aruch about what would be a good enough excuse to explain why she was pretending to be a nida when she wasn't.
Thought it was funny
would not be a good enough excuse. Right? But let's say she says, oh, there were these guys in the neighborhood who were up to no good, and they were started making trouble. I'm not going to go through the whole song. And they started chapping me. They started bothering me. They started flirting with me. So I put on the big deinidus, and they ran away. You know, so something like that. So that would be a good amasa. That would be a good excuse. But that was the understanding, that everyone knew when she was nida, but not when she went to the mikveh. When a woman goes to the mikveh, that's totally private, because that's a lack of tzniyus to talk about such things. That's Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. Ramah says in Shulchan Aruch, you have to be mastir lel tvilasa, to hide it. That's why, if you ever, if you live in a neighborhood that has a keli mikveh right near the regular mikveh, which most neighborhoods have like that, it will tell you, the keli mikveh closes at sunset. You are not allowed to come to the keli mikveh at night. Why not? Because there are going to be women coming there to go to the mikveh. You're not going to see them, they're not dipping in the keli mikveh. You're not going to see them undressed. But you're going to see them getting out of the cars and going to, and you're going to know who's going to the mikveh. And you're not supposed to know such things. It's a massive, there's a lack of tznius. So that's what Rashi's talking about over here. That's what Tosos in the first Deya is talking about over here. Yeah.
How do you hide a little tefillah after a big day?
That's a fair question. Right, the Ramah was ready after Big Day Nidus, but how did it work out back in the times of
Shas?
When a woman was a nida, not the Lel Tvila, but maybe when a woman was a nida, there would not. There's a Mishabura quote that
they announced the Lel Tvila. That's the whole story.
They would announce the Lel Tvila.
And he recovered me. He said, "That's terrible. You're not allowed to do that." And then I don't know the story. The guy came in one day and he was like, "Why didn't you congratulate?"
I don't know this story, but it sounds fascinating. But I'm not familiar with the story. What?
Our Hamlet said it on the
phone trip. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah. How does the Rambam understand Purim? You have the Rambam, right? So the Rambam says, right, we spoke about it. What are you allowed to light? Shalom, b'divrei shalom, mesecht of mito, b'bayishu mesareach bo. Keitza, rayosik, mesecht nida varbam mikvos. Ani shon, kadei shalai shalosso, shalos bin yanida. O sheyashin, mito zu, v'amar b'zu, ani yashin, shema yimtza sham keri. Meaning? Rambam's like, what do you say? The guy asks you which bed, you say, no, not that one, that one. Because you're afraid he's going to find Kerry on the bed that he does. Like the second day of Tosos. And there's Rambam Lashitaso. Again, it's about saving yourself embarrassment. There are other interpretations. I think someone pointed out last time, the Marsha has a creative interpretation because there's a word association here. Bipurya comes up somewhere else. So the Marsha explains based on that Gemara.
Somebody asks, were you at the Bal Yada? You say yes, even if you weren't.
Correct. You're allowed to lie about how drunk you are. Then a Talmud Chacham is allowed to lie about how drunk he is. If he's not a Talmud Chacham, he's got to just keep drinking until he's Bal Yada. But if you're Talmud Chacham and you already had a couple of drinks and you don't want to lose control, you don't want to get beyond there, and someone says, no, you know the difference between Aram and Baruch Mordechai, you could say, Arhu Baruch Hu, even though you still do know the difference, you're allowed to do that. So that's a more creative, and what's the vart though? It's not about Amidas HaTznius, It's not about saving embarrassment, it's about maintaining dignity. Right? That a Talmud Chacham is supposed to maintain a certain level of dignity, and that's how you maintain dignity.
Well, if your person just doesn't drink.
What? Maybe, I don't know, but this is about a Talmud Chacham specifically. There is another interpretation that Rishonim, that is brought in some of the more obscure Rishonim, so the Masifta they quote from wherever, like Gaonim, that based on the Gemara in Erevin. The Gemara in Erevin on Daf Kuf, it's a famous Gemara because the Gemara talks about how we would know morality if God didn't give us the Torah. Without the Torah, how would we know moral behavior? Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, Zichron Levracha, has an entire essay on the topic of whether there is such a thing as a morality outside of the Torah. Or did you say, no, the Torah defines morality, but there's nothing inherent in the Bria that's moral, just the Torah gives us morality. So he starts the essay by saying it's a beferish gemara b'sach seirman, and there's nothing to talk about l'chora. Then he talks for 30 pages, but he said it's a beferish gemara, because the Gemara says that if we didn't have the Torah, we would learn different mitas atznius from this kind of animal, and that mita from that kind of animal, and anivas from that kind, all different midos. And the Gemara there says, Amar Rabbi Chiya, Umei Of Hashemayim Yichak Menu. From a bird I can learn Chachma. Zet Tarnagol Shemefayes V'achar Kach Boel. That a Tarnagol is Mefayes, the Tarnagoles before it has Bia. What's Mefayes? Somehow appears to appease the female. Appears to be very pleasant and gentle and nice to the female, in order to be able to have bia with the female. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Amali, Nitna Torah Yisrael, Lamanut Snius Mechatul, Vigezel Minamala, Va'arayos Miyona, Viderech Eretz Mitarnagol. Tarnagol would teach us Derech Eretz, Shemefayes Vachar Kach Bola. That before bia, there should be some sort of being Mefayes. So says the Ritzgeis, quoted by whatever, the Otzar Gonim or something, that that's what it means, that you're allowed to be Mishana Bepuria. Wow, what does it mean? So he says, what does it mean to be Mefayes? To tell her how beautiful she is, but what if she's not? Do it anyway, right? Meaning, that's what you're allowed to lie about. Similar to what? Kala, right? Kesemach Lufnei Kala, according to Shita's base, Hillel, right? That you're allowed to lie about how beautiful. So you could tell her how beautiful she is, because that's just the derech eretz of how to be mefayis. Okay, so these are the different interpretations. Yeah.
If that's what a Talmud Chacham lies about, how would anybody know?
How would anybody know that he lied?
Meaning, according to that shot, you only know 2 out of 3 things that he actually lies about.
Ah, because you would never know. It's in the privacy of his own. Fair enough. Don't know how they would answer that. And the final one, Ushpiza. So what's Ushpiza? No? So again, Zot Rashi. Yeah, Shalu al Ushpiza in Kibla B'Sever Panam Yafos Va'omer Lav Midatovihi. It's not a Midatovi. Now previously Rashi had told us about Anivus, Tznius. Here he says Lav Midatovihi. Why? Kedesh Lik Fetzen Bo'Bnei Adam She'enam muhuganim lavo tamer alav v'yichlus mamona. Bad guys are going to keep on going to this person, and he's not going to have any money left because he's going to have to host all of these people. Now, some people love it; they dafka want. They want word to get out that they host. Right? The machlises, Rebbe Tzin Machlis Allah Shalom. Right? What? They dafka looked for crazy people. For like anyone. You could be the craziest person in the world. You could be with anyone who needed. But most people are not like that, right? So they are the exception that proves the rule. Most people are not like that. That hosting people takes a toll, and you're happy to do it sometimes, but not all the time. Most people don't have an open door policy. Every once in a while, you have the Yudins in Fairlawn. Yeah, you have people like this, but it's not. Not all that common. I remember Rabbi Aryeh Yudin, the first time I was in his parents' home in Fairlawn for my sister's Sheva Brachas. They made Sheva Brachas for my sister because she married a guy from Fairlawn. Rabbi Aryeh Yudin said, oh, let me show you my parents' home. And there are like a million bedrooms because it used to be the shul and they converted, whatever. It's an interesting layout. And And he opened up one door, and there was like a whole family there, just like sleeping there. He's like, "Oh, I didn't realize. I think they moved in like 3 weeks ago and never left." You know, just like some random people off the street. Like that's just the way it is in that home. But that's the exception that proves the rule, right? So that's Rashi. Says Tosos, bottom of Chav Gimel and Beis, Bush Pisa, Im Shalu and Kiblu B'Sev Kadam Yafos Yom Alo Kedivish Rashi. And he says it's a preferish gemara. Damrin ba'arachim mevarich reu b'kol gadol b'boker hashkeim b'erev klal teichashev lo. If you are too loud in your compliments about people, it's like you're cursing them. It's like a form of anas dvarim. You're causing them pain with your words because now they're going to have to entertain all these people. It says Tosos im tomar v'amrin b'brachos areach tov omer kol mashatarach balabayis lo tarach el b'shvili. Doesn't the Gemara say that a good guest is supposed to say that everything the Balabais did, he did it for me, so aren't you supposed to talk nicely about your host? Maritz Chiyus, by the way, says, not a kasha at all. Why is it not a kasha at all? Forget about Tosa's answer. Why is it not a kasha at all? Says Maritz Chiyus.
He did it for me, but it was terrible.
What?
He did it for me, but it wasn't so good.
If that's what you're supposed to say, he did everything he did was for me. He made me lousy food, gave me an uncomfortable bed, but he did it for me. I don't know. Meretz Chai says different. He says, who are you supposed to say this to? When it says a reach tov mahu omer,
isn't that the birchas?
You think it means you're supposed to say it to the public? It means that should be your attitude. When you're invited to someone's house, your attitude shouldn't be, they had to eat anyway, so what's the big deal? Once they're cooking, it's silly to cook for, you know, what difference does it make if they're cooking for them and their five children or they have one extra person? It doesn't make any difference anyway. Right? They didn't do anything extra for me. An oreach tov appreciates everything that was done and says, all of this was for me. And by the way, very often it is. Ask any, your average from Balabasta. Just her and her husband and their kids. What is being served for the Shabbos meal, right? Okay. Chicken soup. Chicken. A kugel. Shine. Maybe some bakery cookies for dessert, right? And what if there's company, right? So then, you know, there are two types of meat, four types of chicken, seven kugel. You know, it is bishvilo. It's the reality very often. But says Maritz Chayis, you're not saying that to anybody. That he's talking about what your personal attitude should be. Not Tosa's answer. Says Tosa, Yishlam Adasa Mari Bein Bnei Adam Uhuganim. V'ach Bein Bnei Adam Uhuganim. It all depends who you're talking to. If you're talking to lowlifes who are going to say, oh, how do I take advantage of that? So that's where you shouldn't share this. If you're talking to Bnei Adam Uhuganim, that's where it can be shared. That's Tosa's. Good. Rambam. How does Rambam understand this? No? So what do we have? Oshin sareach etzel Shimon va'amar etzel Reuven ani misareach kedei shelo yatrichu al ze shin sareach etzel. What? What does Rambam say?
He said that you were by Shimon, but then he said, no, I was by Reuven.
You lie actually about who your host was. It's a little different. Rashi said, yeah, you're lying, but you're lying about how pleasant it was. Everyone knows where you are, and you're saying, oh, it was so amazing, or whatever, and now everyone's going to want to go there. Ram says, you're lying about who you were at. What did poor Reuven do that you're sending everyone to Reuven now? I'm not sure how to read that, Ram. Why does that help? Meaning, let someone up. Meaning, you're trying to spread the wealth. Shimon already went out of his way to host the guest. He hosted you. So let Reuven host somebody. So you say, oh, Reuven's a gewaltig host. Are you allowed to do that to Reuven?
What if like Reuven has like a reputation? Is he, like he's not the best host. And like Shimon was a wonderful
maybe,
host.
Maybe that's an akimta, yeah.
I read it as like, you're going to say you went somewhere that like opposite person can't go to. Meaning, oh, I went to like Shimon's great, but like Shimon's in like, you know, California. Like, you know,
interesting.
That's what I thought.
Okay, maybe. That could be as well. Yeah, it could be the Sman, the side of the Shulchan Aruch, understands that you were by Reuven also. So you're not lying, you're just protecting one of them. Meaning, don't give up all the information. leave something close to the vest. Mi'iri says Ushpiza means that you're lying to the Ushpiza, not about the Ushpiza. Meaning,
if food is terrible, tell them it's great.
Exactly. Right? Food is terrible, you tell them it's great. Oh, this is so delicious. Thank you so much. Just be aware, they'll probably make it for you again next time. You enjoyed it so much.
I tried to go out with
Louis Taylor on the stage
first.
Yeah, so now that's very much in sync with how we defined Puryo according to the Ritz Geis, right? That it's more dealing with the Puryo, dealing with directly with the person, right? So that's what the Mi'iri writes. And the Marsha, based on the Gemara and Chulin, if a person is Malava you from Pumbedisa, don't let him know where your Achsanya was. What? Meaning if a person from Pumbedisa asks you, is escorting you, don't let them know where you're sleeping, says Gemara Chulin. What's that about? So Gemara says if there are untrustworthy people that are being Malava you, if you let them know where you're getting off the train, they'll plan to pickpocket you right before your stop. So if you let them think, you know, you're on the Long Island Railroad and it stops at Gibson, Euclid, Woodmere, Cedarhurst, Lawrence, Far Rockaway, right? So you say to the person, I'm getting off at if you're really getting off at Gibson, right? And you tell them you're getting off at Gibson, they'll make sure to pickpocket you before you get off at Gibson, right? But if you tell them you're getting off at Lawrence, they'll say, oh, I have plenty of time. At Cedarhurst, I'll pickpocket. Then you get off at Gibson. So you can avoid being, meaning it's a measure of self-protection. That you're protecting yourself by not letting it be known where your Ushpiza is. Not to protect the Ushpiza. Not to protect the host. But not let it be known where your host is. So basically what we're seeing over here is, in all three of these things, we have different models. We have Rashi's basic model of Midos. That it's about your own basic midos, whether it's anivus, whether it's tzinius, or whether it's just being kind to having a karas atov to the people who went out of their way for you. Right? You have a model of self-protection, the Rambam. Right? You want to protect yourself, and then the last one, the Rambam says, and also protect others, protect the people that have hosted you. But it's about protecting. And then we just have the and that fits as well with this marsha. And then we have possibilities that are just unique to each individual case, right? About shalom, right? The idea of being mefayis hasishto and say, why do you do that? Because that's shalom bayis. The idea of telling your host the food is delicious, even though it's not, right? Why do you do that? Shalom, right? It's a matter of maintaining shalom. So it could be big nafkaminas over here. Because what's the kasha that we said we have to ask? Everyone's got to ask the kasha. That there is a beferish a gemara already. The gemara tells us that you're mishanin mipnei hashalom. So why is it that our gemara gives three other things that you're mishanin for and doesn't talk about shalom? Doesn't say mishanin mipnei hashalom. Right? That's a gemara in Yevamos beferish that you're allowed to be mishanin mipnei hashalom. Where do we learn from in Yevamos, by the way? Was it Yosef?
Yeah.
That was
his brothers.
Yosef, his brothers, was one of the examples. What was the example? What happened?
That Yaakov said not to take revenge on them.
Good. And then there was another example. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mishan Mepnei Hashalom. With Avram and Sarah. Right? Kedoniza Kanti. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu reported back to Avram. Sarah says she's too old. Not that you're to it. Mishanim mipnei hashalom. So all the Rishonim are bothered. Why don't we say that why do we give these examples and not Mishanim mipnei hashalom? So Tosos, and the Gromas Bushpiz over here writes, all of these are mipnei hashalom. These are examples of Mishanim mipnei hashalom. How would you answer it if you don't learn that these are examples of Mishanim mipnei hashalom? So what else? What other answers could there be? What you'd have to say is that there's some difference between the halacha of being Mashan Bnei HaShalom and this halacha. So what do we know about this halacha? This halacha is about who? What are we saying? What's the context of the Gemara? This halacha, these three things. Could be Mashan Bnei HaShalom is for everybody, and these are not for everybody. Or, are you supposed to lie about these things? Or is it okay to lie about these things? It could be there's a difference. Maybe one is something that's a mitzvah to do, and one, but which is which? So the Rif, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph Bedaf Hei Rif, says that we're listing things that are Dvar Rishus. Mishan Bnei HaShalom is a mitzvah l'shanas. These things are only good things to be Mishana, good idea. That's why Tosfos has to say that we don't mention Mishana Bnei HaShalom. The Rif, I'm sorry, Tosfos gives a different, right? Tosfos' answer was, these are all examples of Shalom, right? The Drisha in Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Samach Beis writes that Tosfos holds these three things are all a mitzvah to do. And that's why Tosfos has to answer why we don't mention Mishan Bnei HaShalom. Because that's also a mitzvah. But the Rif holds like the Rambam. That, because the Rif always holds like the Rambam, meaning the Rambam always holds like the Rif. And according to the Rambam, these are good things, but they're not a mitzvah. And therefore, according to the Rambam, there's not really a kasha as to why we don't mention Mishan Bnei HaShalom. And same thing is Lishitasa. If you hold that all of these things are shalom-related items, so then you can have a kasha. Or if you hold all of these things are a mitzvah that you're supposed to do, you have to do, then you can have a kasha. Why we don't mention Mishan Bnei HaShalom? So Tosfos holds that these are things you're supposed to do, you have a kasha. Why they're not Mishan Bnei HaShalom? But if you know that these aren't even things that you're supposed to do, these are just things you can do, that you're allowed to do, then there's no kasha. Why isn't Mishan Bnei HaShalom? Because Mishan Bnei HaShalom is something you have to do. And that's Shitas Rambam. And that's the Rif. And the Rambam always holds like the Rif. How do we know the Rambam always holds like the Rif? Who told us the Rambam always holds like the Rif? The Rambam told us he always holds like the Rif. Right. There are other approaches in Rishonim and Achronim as well. If you look in the Emes Yaakov on Shas over here, he has an interesting Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. He has an interesting Mahalich as well. Okay, but Be'ez Hashem, tomorrow we're going to continue this sugya, but not here, meaning not on the page. We're going to go more broadly. How bad is lying? Right? Is it Nisa Daraisa, Mitzvah Daraisa? What exactly is it? You know, a much bigger picture kind of discussion as opposed to just being in this sugya right here in Bamitzia. Okay, have a great day, everybody. Over time?